Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and this is Off the Air. Thank you for downloading the Off the Air podcast. Jess is here. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
Jason's over there. He's humming right now because he doesn't know the words.
Something the way we roll.
That's the way.
I don't know when he comes in.
Yeah, something like that.
Right about.
That's the way we roll.
Bob Schneider, BobSchneiderMusic.com. Honest to gosh, he's going to send us some music for our very own music for this podcast. Has some issues to address right off the bat, as is often the case.
I have one. I meant to do a pre-meeting and discuss something, but we'll get to it after.
Let's
yours.
Do it now.
No.
Me first?
Go for it.
Jess and I stopped and had lunch, and she's...
My belly hurts.
She's suffering a little bit. She...
Eat too much or eat the wrong thing?
I ate the wrong thing.
This is what I've been doing. So I have a green smoothie.
She had a cold, and she's somewhat...
I'm uninsured. That's if you want to go there. I'm uninsured, so I double up on vitamins and...
And worry even more.
I don't worry at all, actually. And I don't like to go to the doctor anyway, even if I was insured. I don't know. I think that might be something to do with being raised by my dad, is that you don't go to the doctor unless you're dying.
You remember earlier, in earlier podcasts, she's against sore throats.
Not so much against them, against other people claiming they have them.
Yeah.
Well, she told me about 3 or 4 days ago that, well, my throat is, and I said, is your throat sore?
I said,
no.
What did I tell you?
No,
I said,
it just hurts.
I said, can you keep a secret? That's what I said.
Oh, that's right. You did say
that's
that.
That's what I said.
Evidently, you had a sore throat, and I can't keep a secret. That's what we've learned so
far. Yeah, I was sick. I was down for like 2 days. So come to find out, you know when I subbed for sixth grade last week?
Right.
I subbed for them. 29 sixth graders were absent on Monday with the flu.
29.
And coincidentally, I was down with the flu.
You were 30. You were number 30 down.
So I'm just going through my mind, like, did I touch a pen? What did I touch?
It could have just been in the air, right?
No.
Cold's airborne,
the door,
right?
Yeah. This,
cold's like Outbreak. You could get Outbreak and bleed out with a cold, right?
What?
Dustin Hoffman movie? You ever see that? Outbreak?
And then they tried to remake it. Remember that?
Yeah, Contagion wasn't
Are there
good.
Monkeys in that?
Yeah. Monkeys in Outbreak. That's what caused it.
Yeah, monkeys. Okay, it was a monkey. Yeah. Monkey pox?
McDreamy actually is transported, the guy from Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen one episode of Grey's Anatomy. What's really? His name? McDreamy's name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, him.
Okay. Anyway, he's smuggling a monkey.
McDermott? No.
Is it Dylan McDermott?
No.
It's somebody like that. But the monkey scratches him and he gets this disease and bleeds out and he spreads it to everybody else.
Really?
Mm, yeah. But Dustin Hoffman rides in and saves the day. Kevin Spacey dies in.
I get Outbreak and E.T. mixed up because of how they quarantine everything. They put the big tents up.
Oh.
So whenever I'm flipping through the channels, I'm like, Outbreak or E.T.?
My favorite part of Outbreak is he and Rene Russo, the most unattractive woman on the face of the earth.
Who's she married to?
Some poor guy, I'm sure. Some
no,
guy
I don't
who
think
wants
she's
out.
Unattractive.
Are you kidding me? She looks like an owl.
No.
I mean, owls are cool, but not on the face of a woman, not a grown woman.
What movie is it that you like so much? Oh, you know, John Travolta. I'm sorry, I'm getting a text.
John Travolta with Rene Russo?
Yeah, aren't they in a movie together that you like so much?
I don't think so.
If it's a Vegas movie, Get Shorty.
Oh, she might be in that with Danny DeVito. Yeah, she's in that.
Yeah.
Where are you on Rene Russo?
I don't know. We're like 3 minutes in, and I can't keep track of what's going on.
Sorry.
All right. Well, you had something to bring up.
No. How did the flu, what were your symptoms? How did you recover?
I had a sore throat. I had, I was congested. I ached. My whole body ached.
Fever?
Yep, that's the flu.
Yeah, but it was very mild. It was right around 100 the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was, and I hate to not do anything.
Right, so you quarantined yourself and you hated it.
I did, and I hated it, but it was, you know, whatever.
Do you feel like your remedies worked?
Yeah, I took a lot of vitamin C. You can't OD on vitamin C. It's a water-soluble vitamin, so whatever you don't use, you pee out pretty much.
But then again,
you don't buy vitamin C.
You can only use so much.
That's my joke.
You just ran it.
You just ran it because you piss it out. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't, it was fine. And so I, so, which but, I have one green smoothie a day anyway. So I started, I did more green smoothies.
So to circle around, she's been eating very healthy and having juices.
Yeah, and then we went to fucking today, Dairy Queen today.
We went to Dairy Queen. And she had the chicken.
And I had
gravy.
The spicy chicken with the gravy.
With the gravy,
but
gravy
and get a load of this. It was it was the wrong gravy. Evidently,
brown gravy.
They've switched to brown gravy instead of the white gravy. And
well, they always have the brown gravy on hand, right?
No, they always
the mashed
have
potatoes.
White gravy
for the mashed potatoes.
Ask me what I had.
That's the brown
Dairy
gravy.
Dairy Queen has.
Oh, I'm thinking of KFC.
No, it's KFC. Sorry.
Ask me what I had. I had a grilled chicken salad
with no dressing.
With no dressing. And
I've never seen him not put two things of dressing on a salad.
No dressing.
Zero.
And yeah. And. Some onion rings. But the point is, I ate partially healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What you had a, you now, had a
I'm sitting there waiting to go, is he going to ask me about my thing?
What did you have
well,
for
Well, it's
lunch?
Not my thing.
No?
Noodles.
Oh, yeah, that's what we were going to do.
We did noodle.
Oh, by the way, since I went to Dairy Queen, I got a cupcake.
And now she's eating.
What does that mean, a cupcake?
She's eating a cupcake
treat. Why is it so hard for you two to understand?
I stood there in front of him. I go, what
looks
is
like
this
a,
cupcake?
Looks like an ice cream sundae.
No, it's not. You know, okay, you know. You know how when you make cupcakes, it's like a little part of a cake in a cup?
We all know what a cupcake is, but yeah. That doesn't look like a cupcake.
Yeah, it's a cupcake. It's a cupcake from Dairy Queen. It's like their cakes. Dairy Queen cake. We used to ride our mopeds into Greenfield and get these when we were kids.
Of course.
Me and my friend Jessica would, her mom, we would wear her parents' headset, the ones that they used on their Harley so they could talk to each other. We would wear those. And her mom would take a big black Sharpie and write our phone numbers on our arm in case we fell in a ditch.
Oh, my God.
Somebody would know who to call.
Whenever you see a moped, do you have a sound go through your head? What? Yeah,
I always just think DUI.
Did you wear a helmet? Yeah, I think you're probably right. Did you wear a helmet?
Yeah, we did with the microphones.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So our past two podcasts were with Jimmy Pardo.
Jimmy Pardo, right?
And we had a little discussion with Jimmy off the air, and it sort of settled in with you, but I could see it was brewing, and deep down you want me to say something, so I'm going to say it.
What are you talking about?
On the iTunes, when that's where most of the people get our podcast.
Yeah.
You can go on there and do
most
a ratings.
Of the people, and we appreciate everybody downloading the Off the Air podcast, but every now and then I'll get this tweet, hey, it would be nice if you blah, blah, blah on your Off the Air podcast, your description or whatever.
What?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you download this podcast, you enjoy it, and keep your mouth shut.
I think you put your blah, blah, blah in the wrong place. You're going to have to be a little more specific.
Well, there just goes my point. He just keep your mouth shut. That's not where I was going with this.
Sorry.
No, you can do a put a rating on there, and that helps.
Like PG-13.
No. You know, say nice things. Put 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever you feel. But it
whatever
helps
you feel we're worth.
Because Chick needs to know he's wanted and wanted very highly. Let's say on a ranking system.
You guys have no idea.
Oh,
I know.
out about myself a lot lately, and I like to know where things stand. You know, I don't like I don't like hey, let's just hang out. I don't like that. I like,
which is how I am.
Which is how you are.
I don't care what's gonna happen. I don't want to know about the future.
So that
I don't want to talk about it. Let's just live in the moment.
So I like to quantify the podcast.
Yes,
it's like I need a number. I need to know how good it is. It's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, people are enjoying it. Okay. Well, how many people? What are they saying?
Mm-hmm. How do I compare to other podcasts?
How do we compare to other podcasts? Mm-hmm. One of the best is what I'm thinking. But yeah. I don't know. I just found that out about myself. I'm trying to lighten up a little bit.
But you're hanging out. But you're, I think in terms of broadcasting, which this is just another form of broadcasting.
That's right.
You've always been the best that there is.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that last part.
He has. He's always been the best at what he does. And so this
and
is just another.
And I can't take criticism. So anybody listening right now, don't, as a joke, go, Chick's the worst part about the Off the Air podcast, because I'll read that over and over again. There might be 100 positive, and then there'll
and
be that
one
negative.
And find the one negative one.
And I'll find the one negative and go, why'd that guy say that?
It'd be nice to get up to, say, 1,000 positives.
On the reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a couple hundred.
I think a lot of people are just downloading it and not bothering to review it.
And they let us
which
know.
Which is fine.
Because
that's
we have
okay.
an email. You know, some of these podcasts might not take emails.
But if you have the time, it would be nice to review it. That would be very nice.
I don't care, really, what you guys do.
I know, but
you know what?
We're trying to promote.
Hey, hang on. Eat your fucking cupcake.
I am. No, I wouldn't. I've gotten 4 emails, so suck on that.
But I asked you when I gave your email address out. I said, don't you want fan mail from people?
Fuck no, I don't want fan mail from people.
Fuck no, I don't want fan mail.
It's not fan mail, though. These people are asking me for stuff.
Sure.
Like, what's Jason's last name? I don't fucking know.
Are we still? This is like Kramer's first name on Seinfeld.
Let's keep it that way.
We're going to keep it.
What is it?
Well, it was secret
it's
for
Cosmo.
A long time.
Yes,
it was.
Who knew? Look.
It was. Yeah, you did know that.
I know.
Finally, she knows some Seinfeld trivia. But, look how giddy you got.
I know.
But they kept it secret for like five seasons.
Something like that. Quite a while.
Oh, speaking of Seinfeld and that kind of stuff, I don't know if you guys, very rarely I get, since we've started doing podcasts, mm-hmm. I've obviously started listening to more podcasts, mm-hmm. and Jeff Garlin has a podcast. A, I fucking love Jeff mm-hmm. Garlin.
He's a good man.
And B, he's had Larry David on the first one, and then he had...
They're buddies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah, they mm-hmm. work together. Mm-hmm. And Lena...
Lena Dunham?
Dunham from Girls. So if you're going to listen to another podcast, that's the one I recommend.
Jeff Garland's called By the Way,
yeah.
and Lena Dunham's show is called Girls.
Girls,
on HBO.
Yeah, and I recommend all those things.
That's our
podcast of the moment.
That's our must-do list.
Can I have a bite of your
Well, get over
cupcake?
There and take a bite, and I'll read a...
I can't promise that you won't pull back a nub, but you
are
can
you
try.
Are you going to read a... Do you have a spoon? Are you going to eat
oh, I got. Oh, I brought a spoon.
You brought a spoon?
I can eat off first. I'm always prepared. Go ahead.
Go get a bite.
We got emails?
We got emails. Here they are now. Hey, guys. Heard you talking about gay pride parades on your last podcast. Evidently.
Are we getting an invitation?
We're going to have a float in the gay pride parade as soon as we can. Are we actually going to have a...
I think we should eat off this side if you want.
There's no
fucking cake because it's from Dairy Queen, you guys.
You just said there was cake. It was their cake.
It's Dairy Queen cake.
Oh, God. I'm making a mess.
So is it cake or is it just ice cream?
It's a Dairy Queen cake. I don't know why this is so hard for you guys to understand.
Heard you talking about gay pride parades on your last podcast.
I've been to many. Oh, God.
Isn't good? Whatever the hell it is, it's really good. I've been to many a pride fest, and believe it or not, there are always a few straight folks in the crowd.
Well, we will be the straight folks in the crowd.
And the people watching, she says, beats the state fair hands down. Looking forward to the next podcast. That is Lesbian Amy number 2.
Yay! Is how she signs her email.
Yeah, we had... Two of them, and one, like the 1 week we solicited uh-huh. them, we got
well, the
two,
only,
and they were both named Amy.
Yeah, the only lesbians we've talked to, both of them have been named Amy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So by
it was
my
our lesbian outreach program.
By my research, 100% of lesbians are named Amy.
I'm going to have some more of that.
Isn't it
That's good?
Dear guys, listening to your all-past...
Kind of what? Did you have
that
a stroke?
Was a word. I think I did. Listening to your episode with Augie right now, he's great, as always, in regard to a statement that fluffers on porn shoots are a myth. He's actually right. I read an interview with a porn star a few years ago, and he said usually the male stars bring their girlfriend to the set. Oh, that's nice.
Take your girlfriend to work day.
She performs the maintenance of the Johnson. Keep up the great work, everybody. This is my favorite podcast, Justin Jason. Always great. You're the man, chick, and RG3 is going to take the Skins to the Super Bowl within 3 years. Oh, boy. I just want him to walk at some point. thank you, Logan. Hi, Chick, Jess, and Jason. Listening to the Augie Smith, and Jess just said that she loves the lesbian and black listeners.
I'm so sorry that I said that.
Actually, she said she loves the blacks and the lesbians. Black listener right here. Keep the podcast going.
I love you, Jess.
Looking forward to it every week. There was talk of doing a second one in a week. I hope that happens soon. That's where
we're kind of maybe one and a half a week.
Every 5 days.
So back to the fluffers.
DJ.
Okay, that guy says, well, it's actually a myth because I read in a... Yeah, like a fucking porn star is just going to just divulge all the porn secrets in his porn interview.
Okay, let's not devalue his source. Let's say the source is true.
You know, actually, to defend Jess for a second, when you start something with in regard to a statement that fluffers are a myth, he's actually right. I read an interview with a porn star. That's kind of...
Well, what does Augie know? Why would Augie know anything about that fluffers are real?
First of all, Augie's in L.A., okay? I don't know where Logan is.
True.
But he's not where the entertainment happens.
But let's say it's true.
Show business is.
Why would girlfriends come and sit there and take care of them and then let them go?
Why?
They're dating porn stars.
Why would a girl date a guy who's in a porno? I don't know.
You know what? This goes to another thing. I don't know if you guys know this, but This is not a dig at strippers, but if I am dating someone or married to them or whatever we are doing, if he goes to a strip club, I'm going to fucking kill him. That's how I feel about it. So I can't imagine. I cannot imagine if I was dating a porn star.
Yeah.
Because I get shitty. I get shitty when I see somebody looking at a girl's ass. We were at an airport one time, and I didn't even have to look over at him. I saw her coming. I knew she was his type, and he kind of glared, and I didn't have to look at him. And I go, "Do you like what you see? Do you like that? Why don't you take a better look? Let's turn around and look at her." What? I am the most jealous, horrible, awful girlfriend on the planet.
Really? That's not true.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
What if Tom Arnold went into porn, but you could be with
I've never been Tom into porn, though.
I'm not saying... If you were into Tom Arnold.
Oh, if Tom Arnold was my boyfriend, he said, I want to try porn.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
I'm sorry, Tom. I would just have to say no. But okay. You know what? He shouldn't have to get into porn. Make homemade porn.
You okay. know, though, you bring up an interesting point.
Homemade porn? Perfectly fine.
You bring up an interesting point. If there was anyone in the entertainment industry, I think Tom Arnold would also be into porn.
Yeah, sure.
No, he wouldn't.
I think he would be into porn.
He loves his wife. He would.
Boy,
he
loves her now.
He does.
Sure. Didn't he hold a contest for a girlfriend at one point?
Did he?
I think he did.
I think he really, really loves his wife now.
You really have a stuffed up nose.
I do. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And
it's
then
awesome.
Now I'm eating, and I haven't had dairy all week trying, because you know, like it's, and I had to cut eggs out of my diet because that makes you like, you know, all mucusy.
Okay.
And so now I'm eating this and it's probably a bad idea.
Sitting here at work with tears streaming down my cheeks, listening to episode 28 of the Off the Air podcast. Never have I heard a better James Earl Ray reference in a comedic setting. My Monday is better already. There's still more podcasts to go. Serial killer material is evergreen. That's Dave from Pflugerville, Texas.
Why is that? It is. Why is you can always? Yeah, that's a weird place.
Pflugerville.
Yeah, Pflugerville. But it's spelled with a PF?
PF.
Like phlegm.
Like, exactly like Flem.
Yeah.
Like Pfeiffer.
Pfizer.
Like Pfeiffer. Like Matt Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer. You know, the Off the Air podcast is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy is the world's largest provider of web hosting and over 10 million customers. Why aren't you one of those customers? I don't want to point fingers, but why aren't you one of those customers? Go to ChickMcGee.com, click on the GoDaddy banner, and you'll get your new domain name for only $4.95, including a free one-page website, a personalized email account, photo album, and more. Go to ChickMcGee.com. Type in the password McGee, M-C-G-E-E, and click on the GoDaddy banner right now. That's GoDaddy.com.
Dot com.
We've covered a lot of ground already on this podcast.
I feel like it, but I feel like we haven't been in here very long. Have we?
That's a good sign. About 2 hours.
Do you want the rest of this cupcake?
I don't. I had the Heath Bar Blizzard, and that didn't settle too well. There's a fine line on the Heath Bar Blizzard between... this tastes good and this tastes sour. I don't know what it is. I'm pretty sure it's just me and my taste buds.
Just with Heath?
Just with the Heath bar.
Hmm.
Peanut butter cup. I don't know why I keep ordering Heath bar. Because I like peanut butter cup every time. But Heath bar is either really great or kind of ugh.
I keep having this metallic taste in my mouth every time
Will
I
you
eat.
Stop that?
Are is
you,
that bad?
Why don't you go get that looked at?
I don't know. You think I got a filling loose
Will
or something?
Will you just listen to me for 1 minute?
No.
Ever?
No. Mm-mm. I don't want
to. Things would go a lot easier if you'd start listening to me.
You think so? But you're so wrong. So wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, this week on the Off the Air podcast, we're very happy to have in the studio with us the one, the only, troubadour, Pat Godwin is here. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Hi.
You look tan and fit.
I'm.
Doesn't he look good?
Yeah, very
Jim
good.
Tan laundry is what I'm doing now.
You look good.
I lift. I tan. I got my own laundromat right there in my house. I'm all right.
Right there in your
right
house?
Right there in my own house.
What are your rules? Do you got whites, darks, or do you have in-betweens?
Whites
got...
and darks, and I pretty much try to do everything in hot.
Some of the Asians.
A little hot.
We try not to.
We're back to the blacks and the lesbians. Pat, you remember Jess from 5 years ago?
I met her once, yeah.
5 years ago,
Tom's daughter's first birthday party.
That's right.
Adorable as ever.
And you know what? Here's my thing with Pat right now. He looks like my dad.
Yes, he does have a yes.
He looks like my dad a little bit. When we came in, we walked by the green room, and I was like, "Wait, that's not my dad."
I get that a lot from the girls I used to date. You look like my grandpa a little bit.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you have a young wife, young hot wife,
23 years younger than I am.
That's awesome.
Just like my dad. My dad married a woman I went to high school with, so I'm. It's a tradition now, 23 years.
Wow, really?
That's a good tradition.
Yeah.
The Godwin family tradition.
He passed away a couple of years ago, and she was looking over the hospital bed, and he was. And she's a lot younger, and it just dawned on me, oh, yeah, it's going to be me. It's going to be me with a young wife, and I think about it a little bit.
Well, everything ends, Pat.
She's an old soul, though, my wife, so it's going to work out just fine.
Yeah, that's right. So what are you? What have you been up to? You've been hanging out. You've been on the road. You've been
on the road too much. We have a brand new instant family, so I'm out there.
You just had a son, right?
Yeah, calling the bars, calling anybody that'll have me a disco. You know, if you got a disco floor, I'll come and I'll perform. You got a boat? I'll come on a boat. Yeah, let's just do it. So I've been out there a lot and back in Indy for the first time in about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah,
a little cold.
Yeah, a little chilly.
Yeah,
especially today.
Yeah,
about
cold
nine.
As we're
it's
recording
about nine
the
outside.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, you said you had an instant family. What does that mean?
Well, my my wife, who's 23 years my junior, we'll call her Kimberly because that's her name.
All right,
it's from an old bit of mine. Mm-hmm. And she had a daughter who was 11 at the time, who I've adopted. That's Avery, and we just had a little boy of our own, about 2 years, a little over 2 years, little Jimmy.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
I don't see
me with kids.
Yeah,
a pirate like me.
I don't
me
know
neither.
I mean, I do see you enjoying it. I'm just saying, I just see you and a kid going crazy, you know, running around. Hey,
well, I could barely
I
could barely take care of myself. I was a lonely guy. I tried to get a plant and keep that alive at first, then a dog, and that failed. But I think the kid's going to be just fine.
Well, he's doing bits and stuff, right?
He is. He's talking along with Nemo. He's very chatty right now. He's funny. He's already had 7 stitches. That was not on my watch.
Oh. 7.
Yeah. Oh. 7 stitches right here in the lip.
But I understand he also does...
Took him to a plastic surgeon to fix it. We couldn't even afford that. And he also had the breast augmentation at the end of the... hello!
Doesn't he do an impersonation that kills the entire family? That's what I heard.
Yeah, I put that... He snores. He does daddy sleeping. Everyone thinks it's funny.
Yeah, I bet they do. That's
apparently, I'm a big beast with the snoring, so...
I never me too.
Knew. Are you?
No, horrible.
If I ever nap, I wake myself up right away. I'm not
a
napper,
I do too that all the time. Yeah.
One of those?
Oh, yeah. I've done that. Yeah.
You snore?
In the Lazy Boy on
a
Sunday watching football, leaning back, I've done the...
I think we found something that's not perfect about Mr.
No,
Jason.
Stop it. I'll give you the list later.
He's snoring. My goodness.
Riding the bike still, though, and you're all thin,
not
right?
As much as I used to. Yeah. I don't get out. I still ride in the summer, but I used to ride into work here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is about 20 miles, but I haven't.
You rode over to my
years.
House once in your sausage pants and all your glory.
I have, yeah.
Look at my penis. Yes.
Sausage pants.
As long as you wear black, you're okay. If you go any color pants, you're going to see.
He's cocky
aren't
about
you
it, too.
Supposed to, but why would you wear black? I thought black was slimming.
It is.
Wouldn't you not want to wear black?
Wouldn't you want to have a white area right here? So it would like pop, make it pop?
No, I don't think you're... Because sometimes, put it this way, when you're on the bike, blood's going elsewhere.
Oh.
To the muscles of your legs and what you need.
No. Jason's also, he's very cocky about it. I asked, hey, you know what? I should do that. I should go out with you one day. You couldn't do it.
No, you couldn't. No.
Probably at that time, no, you couldn't.
But
you could.
Does your scrotum, does your testicles, do they get numb a little bit? Because
no.
I used to ride like a long
time
shave?
Ago. Do you trim
no,
down there?
No.
No?
No.
My testicles will get
it's
numb.
It's all about the pants you get, the shorts you get, pants? Have a big nice pad there that
they
help
come
keep
with
you.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, the soft seat? I should have gotten a softer seat.
Yeah, banana seat, that'd be good.
Yeah. The banana seat, not the banana hammock, banana seat.
Right.
They were popular when we were kids, the banana seat for a year or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to bring them back.
I had a banana stingray stolen. It had a banana leopard seat.
You had a leopard seat on
leopard
your bicycle?
Leopard seat on my stingray.
Did a girl steal it?
Banana. My point is, the next door neighbor, like across the street, stole my bike.
We had that happen in our apartment
and
complex.
And I let him have it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I didn't.
No, somebody came and stole my little brother's bicycle.
And didn't you go over there?
And I grabbed him and I said, we're going to go over there and get your bicycle. I was in second grade and he was in kindergarten. I don't know what the fuck I was thinking.
Wow.
Yeah, and well, like I own that apartment complex and ran over there. And I
run
like,
this bitch.
And it was an older boy. He was 12. And I said, you give me my brother's fucking bicycle.
You know, some people go through their whole life, they didn't have the confidence you did it. Second grade.
Yeah, and it's I've lost it since. It's progressively
you've
just
lost it.
Yes, yeah. I don't have that it's confidence gone. At all now. All
right. Well, I live now in my old stomping ground, so I drive all around all the places that I rode my little bike. Schwinn 20-inch. The brake was in the pedals.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the what, no Pennsylvania? Where's
Northeastern Pennsylvania, Wilkes-Barre Scranton area, where the office is based out of.
Oh yeah.
That coal mining area that my dad came from.
Yeah.
Cool.
Why'd you move back there?
Just we were going to buy his house from my stepmother, who I went to high school with. She's our high school prom queen. Just a little detail there.
Okay.
And since my boy was so colicky, my wife stayed home and didn't work for about 8 months, so our credit suffered. We were late on some stuff, so we couldn't do it. So we're back there now. We're at the bus station, and
no.
We're hoping. We're in a crap place, I'll tell you that. It's I rent it for my friend I went to school with. And it's just not, it's not good. We're all crammed in there. It's very hillbilly. Right, it's a hill, it's a hillbilly house.
Okay. Well, you know my famous Pat Godwin story is
there are many.
I'll go across the country and talk with people, and they always ask sometimes. Well, not always. Sometimes, every now and then, occasionally, once or twice.
Cops.
You know, how's Pat IRS. Godwin? Where's Pat Godwin? What's he been doing? And actually, do you remember your first appearance on the Bob and Tom Show?
No, I think it was around 1999.
Because it did not go well. Do you recall that?
I was hoarse. I was sick. Tom sent me home.
Yeah.
You come back tomorrow.
Right, right. And,
really?
He didn't
come
back.
I couldn't talk.
Hmm.
So
I tried, the only thing I could do was, I think it was Elvis. But that didn't sound like Elvis. It sounded like Tom Waits doing
Elvis.
So,
and this is, I'm going to say, do you say 99?
I think, yeah.
So I'm going to say 2000 or 2001. I can remember if I look, I should have looked it up. I should have prepared. It was when the Redskins played the Titans in Nashville. And Patrick Ramsey had a great game. And but that weekend, the club owner there asked me to come down and host some shows for the first time ever. Brian Dorfman asked me to come host some shows at Zany's in Nashville.
Yeah.
And you were the headliner, and I came down and hosted. We sold out like Friday.
Yeah, it was great.
Two shows Friday, three shows Saturday. So, and you annihilated. You killed all those shows. So I come toddling back, and I tell Tom I saw Pat Godwin on stage. He goes, yeah, how'd he do? You know, in the typical Tom way. After Pat had not done very well on the Bob and Tom Show, how'd he do? And I go, Tom, we need to have him on back as soon as possible because he killed. He's very funny. We need to have him back on.
Oh, thank you.
So sure enough, Pat comes back and he comes back on and you came back for a long time there for a little while.
Yeah. You know, at that time I had been burnt out on radio too. I'd done radio back in Philly for 6 years. We got fired. Then I did Stern. And then I went to LA with my girlfriend at the time and she didn't want me to leave town. And I was, you know, just so ragged at that point. I remember just crawling into that show and I didn't want to be there. I just thought you guys were on an indie. So I thought, well, if I suck, I got a hoarse voice. Doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. Little did I know that you guys are really huge and I would end up really enjoying it.
Yeah, we were just starting.
1999 was like, syndication at that point.
Well, 95 was when they started syndicating, but yeah, they were getting big.
Yeah, then I think I did the Bono bit and the Charlie Sheen song the next time, and I really had a good time and took it serious. Not that I didn't the first time, I just felt like crap.
No, I
appreciate that. We had a lot of fun. You and I have done Nashville a couple times.
Yeah. And we were at a couple theaters on the Bob and Tom tour.
I'll leave this party when the vodka bottle breaks.
He just told that story.
It's a great story.
You were there.
I love it. I was there.
That's right. That's absolutely.
And the vodka bottle broke, and you and I went back to the hotel.
We gotta go back.
I laughed for about a day.
Yeah, that was something else.
How about that? So it is a true story.
Yeah, that's a hell of a callback.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You think I made it up?
Well, that was Des Moines. And there was a wacko guy that you had people.
Des Moines.
You had people bringing you gifts, and there's a bottle of Belvedere.
Well, I get that everywhere.
And this guy was messing with it. The guy was messing with it.
He was messing with it.
And you just said, "I'm leaving when the vodka bottle breaks." Smash!
He dropped.
Wow.
Yep, that was something else.
Huh?
So where have you been, Pat?
I have. I've been in comedy jail is where I've been. So you know, just roughing it out. You know, just doing whatever I can. With the family, it's quite a shock. So now I don't know if you noticed, but I like to play on my terms. I don't like to be out there that much. Sometimes I don't like people.
Sometimes
you got to be in a mood.
I've noticed once or twice when you would take to a hotel room and not answer phone calls.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Leave me alone for a week.
I
got stuff to
even
do.
Even though you had something to do.
Oh, yeah, we can get to it. Yeah, that wasn't a good period at all.
Yeah. Was that, what was that about? Was that
substance
or mental? Or?
That particular, a little bit of both maybe, but that particular time we had just worked together in Nashville.
I thought that was right.
If you remember, at this time, I've never been like a choir boy by any means, but
sure.
I was always just like a weekend rocker kind of a guy. And if I did have a couple of bevvies, it was Fast and Furious. I felt like crap for a day, and that was the Irish MO because my dad was kind of a chronic drinker, and I knew that was an issue if there was some genetic precoding. So I was always aware of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mid-40s, I remember like I'm a horrible flyer, so I'd have to have a couple pops to get on a plane. And I would get to the place feeling crappy.
He even talks like my dad. I'm sorry.
Clean your room! I would get to the place and feel crappy. So I had the great idea once I moved here and was working for the Bob and Tom Show mm-hmm. as a writer and, you know, a performer all the time. I'm always on the show. I thought I had the great idea because someone in our little group had said, you know, you should go to this particular doctor and the flying thing, take care of that. And I ended up getting a prescription for Xanax. And I enjoyed it so much because it was just, I didn't have to drink. I didn't have to drink after a show on Saturday. If I had no radio responsibility, I'd tank it up with the other comedians, even though I was much older than them and mm-hmm. probably should have grown up by now. And this thing was like a wonder drug to me, but I ended up becoming so tolerant of them and addicted to them that if it ran out of my system and I couldn't get any, I would go into withdrawal and had no idea what was going on. I would have to drink to maintain. Mm. And at the end of that Nashville week, you remember I didn't drink at all, and the shows were fantastic.
Yeah.
And on Saturday I ran out. And there's a half-life of a benzodiazepine that stays in your system a couple of days, so you don't feel it. I didn't feel it until Sunday. I think I ran out Friday night. Saturday mm-hmm. night went great. You went back home, and I was going to be driving home, and that's when I got desperately sick, and I couldn't get my doctor on a Sunday to help out. I couldn't get him. He said I would get 90.5s a month, and I would just barrel through them, you know? Because it was like a wonder thing to me. I was able to sleep on them.
Is this anti-anxiety?
Yeah, it's the only two things that you can die from are benzodiazepines and alcohol. It's a central nervous system depressant. And when that's out of your system, you go through withdrawal. So what was happening with me is that I was trying to medicate myself so I could do my job and maintain. Mm-hmm. The truth was I was in deep poo-poo.
You're
in deep.
And that was the first time it happened. And I remember, you know, Tom from Bob and Tom even said, yeah, I talked to Chick. He said, you killed down there. What? How do you all of a sudden get lost in a hotel room?
Yeah.
I got so desperately sick, I thought I would just drink myself into oblivion. So I'd wake up feeling crappy and then I could just go about my day. But I would wake up shaking because of the nerve pills. I didn't have any. And I honestly didn't know what was going on. So I went down to, I was here on Allisonville here in India. It's the Hampton Inn, I think. They finally found me.
One of those, yeah.
And I would go down to the gas station and I'd get these little tiny bottles of wine in the beginning just to maintain. And I was just so depressed that I couldn't figure out what was going on with me. That was the first time it got out of hand. And I tried to lie about it and run away from it and not talk to anybody about it. Mm-hmm. Tom, of course, would grill me at length as to what was going on. He said I should just walk for a couple of days and get things out of my system. You need to go on a good run. I said, maybe. So I ran like Forrest Gump for a couple of days.
Maybe you're right.
Then he drove me down to some therapist guy. I don't want to say the guy's name, but that was awkward. You know, mm-hmm. Freud has famously said that Irish people are impervious to any kind of psychoanalysis. So whenever I would sit there, I'd never listen because I'd just go, bullshit. Bullshit, it's an hour, here's your $90, and I would go on my way. All I wanted to do was to desperately go on my way without anybody finding out, because I was a proud guy and I was so embarrassed. Even that incident, because you had an intern at that time who I didn't care for. I'm not going to say his name, but he's the one who ended up finding me through my credit card, and every time I see him, I just saw him this morning at another radio show. Mm-hmm. Oh, hi, so-and-so. Yeah, and I was like, oh, man, I hated this guy. And I just saw him this morning. And he always says something snarky. Man, you're still getting lost in hotel rooms.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, on the air.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And it was so embarrassing to me that I couldn't solve it. And then of course my prescription would come through and I didn't have to drink or anything. And when that week went by, I got my prescription again because I told the guy I lost him. I went down to Dr. So-and-so and I got 94. I got 90.5s again. I'm fine. You probably saw me at that period. And I probably,
you look great.
Hey, you look fine. Yeah, I don't know what happened to that hotel. And I would just sweep it under the rug and I'd move on.
Right.
But then these incidents would happen. At the tail end of, you know, and the incidents never happened on the Xanax because even though it's a similar drug to alcohol, you're able to talk and you don't F up, you know. Mm-hmm. When the alcohol, this is where the truly, you know, man, I got arrested at that time. I was a passenger in a vehicle. I got out and yelled at the cops. It was just an insane time that I could not solve.
That was in North Carolina or South Carolina?
I went to four or five emergency rooms at a time to solve it because then someone told me, here's what you're going through. But I definitely didn't want to go to any kind of rehab thing.
Right.
So I walked into pretty much almost every emergency room in the north side of Indy to solve it. I'd go in, here's what's going on. I'd tell the doctor how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. My blood pressure, by the way, your blood pressure goes up to 200 and some. You're about to stroke out when the nerve pills come out of your system.
Holy moly.
You'll try to medicate it with the booze for a while, but then after about 4 days, you're just sick because the copious amounts you have to put in to get normal is just lethal. So you'd just come in all sloppy and shaky, literally mild tremors. Mm-hmm. And I'd wait till it all got out of my system and go, I can't do this another day.
Right.
So I can't, the pills, I'm not going to get them until Tuesday. I'd walk into an emergency room. That happened 5 or 6 times during that period, that year of living dangerously. And every bad thing that happened, happened in that time because mm-hmm. I wasn't honest. You know, I tried to talk to Tom about it, and we even discussed the second time it happened. He pretty much picked me up in his car and took me down to Fairbanks here. And I, mm-hmm. you know, and I never told them about the nerve pills. I was just waiting for them, you know, for the alcohol to get out of my system. Right. And I, for 4.5 days, I bolted. You know,
so everybody bye-bye. Just assumed you were an alcoholic.
Well, you know, there's alcohol issues. If I took an alcohol questionnaire, I would fail every question.
Right.
Still to this day?
Well,
you
know, here's the questions. Do you drink in the morning? Well, I have. Have you ever drank in the morning?
Yeah.
Vacation.
Yeah.
Have you ever blacked out? College.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's simple questions like, do you ever drink alone? Of course I do.
Yeah. Well, now, wait a minute. I drink alone, but I would drink if someone were there. I'd drink with them.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's nobody there. So I just go ahead and drink.
So do I label myself? No, but I certainly would not pass an alcoholic questionnaire. Mm-hmm. Have you had legal issues? Well, yeah, I did. I did have that one.
Yeah.
Has it caused you financial problems? It has, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I fail every question.
Right.
You know, I may
right.
pass. I know. And my mother would not. Let's put it that way. Right. My dad would fail every
so
question.
So you didn't go to a treatment program? Or rehab
no,
or anything.
No, I went to Fort Fairbanks.
Okay.
And they put you on phenobarbital as opposed to another benzo to calm you down, which is a knockout drug. You feel, you're a zombie after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started to wake up, you know, I hated everybody in there. It's a horrible place.
It's not a good place.
It's not a good place. And then finally, and we're going through a lot of time now, I hooked up with Jimmy Reiser and Mike Denton from Methodist because the two people that were around me and really kind of monitoring me. Because, by the way, if I had some of the pills, I would completely brush it off, you know, with Tom, even with Tom, you know. And our friend Dr. Bill Cordell, who was monitoring me, he'd come over to the house and, you know, he'd see if I was doing okay. And if, you know, if I had the Xanax, I was doing fantastic.
Right.
But then these incidents would still happen. And then I just finally talked to Mike Denton and Jimmy Reiser down at Methodist and went down there at an outpatient thing, which I could deal with. Went down there at 9 o'clock, stroll in, crack a few jokes, have some fun, listen a little bit, get the medical detox, try to get as much of it as I could out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up really enjoying Mike Denton and Jim Reiser, who are really good friends to this day. And they, of course, want you to go to all kind of meetings and stuff, and I'm just not a meeting guy. So, you know, I placated them for a while and went in the beginning. But not to say that the people who have gone to meetings that has helped, but to me, you know, it was just... It was a weird experience. It was very difficult.
So do you drink now?
No.
Not at all.
Oh, I drank at our wedding. I had wine at our wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I have flirted with conditional drinking, and there have been no disasters. But it doesn't mean I go, that's a good thing. I mean, I have a child now. We're up at 6 a.m.
Sure.
My wife, I've always been involved with heavy drinking women, wild Miami women, and I obviously gravitated towards that. So my behavior wouldn't seem so crazy, because it was. Now, even you know, before Xanax was involved, you know, I was still a wild guy. After shows, I would pound shots and beer, and then and then I'd be done. It was not normal drinking. It wasn't enjoying a glass of wine.
Drinking. Well, I binge drink.
You give me a glass of wine, and that glass of wine is gone in a second. Mm-hmm. Even at our wedding, we had some champagne. I didn't sip the champagne. I drank it like an alcoholic.
Right.
You know, give me the bottle. Come on, we're having fun. I felt like crap, like I always do, and I didn't think about it ever again because there wasn't any withdrawal issue. If you've ever woken up and felt that anxiety, you know, the hair of the dog, and that expression is to alleviate the mild symptoms of withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever had a Bloody Mary and you feel a little bit better, your pH balances back. That's one little percent of what I was going through. And what people even go through is worse than me. People who see stuff and have DTs and they have to be strapped down because they've been chronics.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it was imagine a year of taking those kind of pills and then having it out of your system. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I'm a little neurotic and crazy anyway. If you magnify that, I just think that I'm getting older and I'm nuttier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that's what I'm living with inside the brain, the chattering mind. So it was a horrible time and I made terrible choices. And, you know, to this day, I regret all of it. I wish I could go back because so much was taken away from me because of my behavior. And I have no one to blame but myself. But, you know, I miss all of it. And coming back and even seeing you guys in this situation is just, it's devastating. I'm the Bill Buckner of comedy. You know, I dropped that ball in the World Series. Everything, people were my friends, and I let everybody down. And I didn't want to tell them why. You know, when things happen, I'd lie. I lied one time when something horrible happened. I said my dad had a heart attack. He was fine.
Yeah.
You know, I lied because I was just so ashamed of the real reason that I'm an F up, you know, and that it was just a terrible time. And I never, ever got it back. You know, to this day, I get questioned about the show everywhere I go. You know, everywhere right. I go.
When you're I turn the bottom, yeah, I get it too. Yeah.
You know, and I get people to say, "What'd you do? Fuck Tom's wife?" You know, I said,
"Well,
no.
First of all, Tom's only been married once." And let me.
So let's back up a little bit. That happened about 05, 06. Is that fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prior to that, let's call 02, 03, 04.
Yeah.
You were on top of the world.
Absolutely.
Right? I saw you most every day.
Yeah, we worked in the same building.
Weeks.
It was a great creative time.
Well,
before he got here, and I'd forgotten this, you worked with John DiBella,
a radio legend in
Philadelphia.
I was his co-host.
They ruled mornings, and of course, you worked with Howard.
Yeah.
And all this. Kind of stuff.
So when I came to your show was a perfect fit because you guys were creative. My morning show is a pee pee poo poo caca morning show. Three penises of comedy. I mean, three P's: penis, prejudice, poopy. I had to write two parodies a day and two original songs because that was my deal.
Right.
So I'd wake up at 4, our meetings at 5, and I just enjoyed it. But your show was what I really wanted to do because you didn't. There were as long as it was good, you were a results oriented show.
That's what Tom's always said: mm-hmm.
show up and be on
time and be yourself. That's all he's ever said.
And you know, and I enjoyed the challenge, and it allowed me to be racier, and I could do different styles of music, which I enjoyed. And I would never sleep. I wouldn't sleep the night before doing your show because I'd have the computer on and my printer ready, and I would tighten up one. Word. I try to sleep. Mm-hmm. No, I think I should say kumquat. Mm-hmm. I'd go back. Then I'd call Jason. Should I say kumquat? Then I'd go back. Don't say kumquat.
Don't ever say kumquat.
You know, you can ask Jason. I'm pretty freaking obsessed about doing those things properly. Mm-hmm. And you know how Tom would wind me up. You know how that situation would wind me up. I'd be so crazily obsessed about doing the best job I could. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I took that away from myself by not being honest probably in the first place or allowing that stuff to happen, it just destroyed me. It was terrible.
So do you think you have a fear of success or something going on there? Or you kind of subconsciously did it to yourself? Or?
I hope that that's not the case, but if someone else has said that to me in this organization too. And I think about that a lot. Because there have been situations in every other thing where it got kind of big, mm-hmm. where I tended to choke in the big game, and I think nerves get to play, and it drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. And there may be some part of me that doesn't think I deserve it. There's this Irish aspect that thinks you don't deserve anything. If I have money in my pocket, it's gone. You give me $1 million, I have $1 million problems. I'm just that guy.
More money, more problems.
I'm just that guy, and I'm like a classic case of I love the work, but when the attention comes to the work, and don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. after the show, it's nice, but I don't want it before the show. I really enjoyed the work. So your comment is very astute.
The world's full of people who feel like they don't deserve anything that they have, and they are going to do everything they can to try to.
But the ball has not been thrown my way at all. I'm waiting for someone even to throw. Hey, I'm over here. Nah, I know what happened last time. You stay in the dugout, you son of a bitch.
And that's where I was going with it, Chick. You did, 02, 03, 04, you really became our little guitar darling, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I had fun. My buddy Matt and I, you know, we would write
some
stuff together. And,
well, I'd walk around the halls running things by you guys 7 hours a day.
Yeah, and it was just tough for me. And I'm obnoxiously normal. I get it. Right, Jess?
Yeah, we get it.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, during that period.
I nodded off during that
But, you know, my point being, at the time, you were doing so great mm-hmm. that I'm like, why are you screwing this up? Why are you throwing this away? What's happening? You know, and of course, you weren't being completely honest with me.
No.
And I didn't know. I didn't understand it. It was frustrating.
It was mm-hmm. such an overwhelming physical thing, you know, and you can't separate the brain from the body. So I have to be accountable. But it was such a physical thing I was going through that affected how you feel. I mean, you know, you have boozer's gloom if you may be drink for a couple days on a weekend,
right.
You wake up on Sunday, you're a little down. Well, imagine that being magnified too. So I had so much going on. I don't know why I dropped the ball. I'm pissed off at myself, first of all, that I wouldn't be smart enough to maybe read about. I've read about it now, but at the time that it was important, I didn't just sit myself down and go, all right, what the hell's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure it out, be honest, and everybody be cool about it. You know, instead of, you know, but it's just a weird thing to go through. To just kind of when you come through one of those fires and you're not burned, you're like, oh, da 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 da. And you tend to, that was weird, man. Well, whatever. This is funny, though, right? This is good, though, right?
Right,
this,
yeah.
Am I funny?
That's good,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I closed all those Friends of the Bob and Tom shows, mm-hmm. you know. I was really enjoying, you know, learning the challenge of that, you know. Chick and I worked together in Nashville, and you said, do you remember what you said to me? Because we had done some theater shows, and I love this comment.
Oh, because you like the smaller clubs a little better.
Chick goes to me, I'm not just destroying this Nashville club, and Chick goes, why can't you do that in the theater? And I went, I don't know.
It's no, just, and you could, but there was some kind of mental block about being in a theater. He annihilated in a club.
I would have people yelling at me.
It would be okay in the theater, don't get me wrong, but I mean,
it wasn't what the club was.
Yeah, the club
was
very intimate.
It was a very intimate, you know, talking back and forth. And, you know, we were doing those huge shows where people just yelling out. I'd walk on stage and be, good beaver, gone bad. Okay. It was like an A&E request hour. Mm-hmm. Do the gangsta folk. Whatever. And I would just sing. There was no natural organic
flow. See, but I find, I'm hearing that you discount yourself, and I'm trying to draw a parallel, and I guess I can, because what I do is kind of the same thing. It's really intangible, and something that Jess and I have talked about a million times is that if I could find something tangible to do that I could see, that that would make me a little bit more comfortable.
Why he likes to vacuum and iron.
make me a little bit more comfortable. Something even simple as that, because you can't, other than, I guess, you know, monetarily or whatever, you can't quantify. You can't stand back and look at what you've done.
Well, sure you can. You just sold out a theater.
Well, but I mean, but maybe saying, because it comes so easy, or there's not an actual process, or like you do this and this and this and this is the result.
I heard you say something at the beginning of the podcast that resonates with me. You said that you don't like the criticism if you see a review of the podcast.
Well, that's true.
My mother at that time says to me, you know, you really aren't made for this business. You're so thin-skinned. You always were as a kid. If one person said one unkind word about me, it would destroy me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. It's absolutely true. When you have more attention, you get a little more internet play. Yeah, I think your songs suck. What?
Yeah.
Where I got to find out where that. Right, yeah. There was a guy after the whole Bob and Tom fiasco with me not being on the show happened. There was a guy who sought me out in MySpace, and he owned a detail place, and he had some inside info, and he said some really horrible things. Mm-hmm. That where he had some inside info. You kiss Tom, kissing Tom's ass, son of a, and really evil stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, if I ever find you. Well, I have cops that in my family that live in the area. I found what detail shop he worked at, and I showed the hell up at his place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh.
That's how weird I am.
Well, I mean, the guy was weird for saying what he was saying, but I mean, yeah.
And how'd that go?
Kind of.
It went great.
Really?
Did you do a show? Or
what? Go, hey,
did you bring out the guitar
you?
And that little gangsta phone?
No, the thing he said was he would always mention in his MySpace comments that he would, hey, I'm going out drinking now. I'm going to be at the Tijuana Connection or something like that. And I would always go, be careful. Because I had cop friends. I said, you know, why don't you follow? I thought about asking, why don't you follow him home? And they never did, because that's evil. But I did go to his play, the detail shop, and say, hey, do you know me?
Patrick.
Wow.
No. That's how bad I am.
Well, no, one time, and you're an eyewitness to this.
Oh, God. I don't even know which story you're going to tell.
I pulled out of here one morning.
Oh, no.
I am. That when I was a receptionist here.
This is probably 7 or 8 years ago. I am so embarrassed to tell this story, but I'm going to anyway.
About seven.
It was about seven. Yeah, probably 7 years ago.
I don't even know who that guy was. Jesus.
Okay. Somehow, they almost backed into each other. Chick was backing out.
I was
out,
backing out. He was pulling in. He comes zooming in. So he honks at me. He flips me off. I flip him off. I go on down the road.
And Chick goes on down the road, which Chick is famous for getting halfway to wherever he was after an incident and then going, oh, yeah, motherfucker, and then turning around.
That's me.
So he comes back and proceeds to have a screaming match with this guy in the lobby of the radio station.
And he's just a listener.
Well, as far as I know, he was there to pick up some Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets or something. Yeah. And so Chick goes, come out here, motherfucker. Why don't you come out here?
Yep. Oh, God.
Yeah. And it was. And then I called Dean. I said, Dean, can you come help me, please? And Dean comes out there, and Dean tries to defuse it.
Yeah.
So, I shouldn't have.
I have the temper thing thrown in with the insecurity, and I don't like criticism at all. I don't even know why I chose this career. And
right.
You put a little bit of that temper, and I can be fine until the one thing that crosses the line with you, like, you know, then you're shouting in the lobby of a hotel.
And how often is it misplaced anger where it's you're so angry at yourself or somebody else,
or
then
your
you
mother,
just take it off on someone. Yeah, exactly.
Or whoever.
Or you look like my father.
Yeah, that's right. I seem
to be more touched than most, though, in regards to being sensitive about stuff.
Do you have management now, or you
absolutely
do
not?
You do it yourself. You just call.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I don't call anybody. They call me. I don't. Okay. I work for friends, and no one's calling. I'm unbookable. I'm unhirable. I work a strip joint on Monday. On Tuesday, I'm in Poughkeepsie. I sweep up floors.
Where were you recently? You were tweeting about it, that you had every a great time.
Every Monday. Oh, well, I've started to do the cruise ships, and it's just a matter of time before I'm fired from that. I say some smart-ass word to a kid. You know, a little. They'll be helicoptering me off from Belize. He told the kid to fuck off!
He's seven!
Yeah. Yeah, you do these family-friendly shows. I just got in with Carnival and Celebrity. I'm doing all next month.
Well, that's an achievement, right?
It is an achievement, yeah.
Look at that and go, yeah. Hey, this is nice.
It's a difficult job because you have no phone contact. You don't have a career. You're just making money in a boat, and you're doing the little monkey dance for the rich kids. It sounds terrible. It's good money, though.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It is a
yeah. I've heard
well
it's better money, worse experience. Right?
It's a horrible experience. Yeah.
Okay.
And it beats my Monday night though for $225 at the Pocono Cove Haven steady gig. So that keeps us in.
How far are you from the Pocono?
45 minutes.
No kidding.
It's great. I get my car. I put on your podcast.
I listen to the
Kitschy. Is that the right word? Kitschy or kitschy?
Kitschy.
70s kind of themed
hotel.
Horrible old theaters that they've never refurbished.
You remember in Dumb and Dumber when they're sitting in the heart shaped bathtub?
That's it. That's where I work every Monday. I work for. There's three resorts up there that they tease. And that's the ones I work for every Monday night.
But things, please give us a sign of hope here. Things are getting better, right?
You know, it's a matter of feeding the family and being very, you know, the work ethic is insane right now. I don't have time to be cranky with anybody. I don't have the luxury of going, oh, yeah, I just work 3 weeks out of the month, you know, because I need that 1 week to decompress. Right. No, I'm out there, and I'm just trying to have a smile on my face, you know, because I can't come home and be the way I was around my little boy and my daughter and my wife. So I keep it in check. If it gets at me, I just try to forget about it, move on. It's just been a lot of really bad road work, you know?
Bad, but do you mean like bad venues or?
You know, you just got to do what you got to do, you know, and just wait for something else to open up and just have a good attitude about it. And then I just work constantly on making the act as strong as I can make it. And I've been doing a lot more serious songwriting for a project my brother and I are doing. I've always written more serious songs than the funny ones. So we're trying to incorporate that in a way to make a kind of a well-rounded show. It's a show I have an idea for called Song Boy with my brother. Mm-hmm. And at the very least, we'll do a webisode, but we're trying to work something out with that.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, nowadays, you don't really, you know, push comes to shove. You don't really need a record company or anything. You just put it
on. Oh, no. I travel with my MacBook Pro that my mother-in-law bought me for Christmas because I can't afford one. And Logic Pro, she bought that too, $87. These aren't jokes. So you're texting over there.
No.
Oh, you're playing. You're eating a cupcake.
No, she's playing with her headphone cord.
With my microphone. Sorry.
No. Did you finish your cupcake? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's too much.
That's too much.
Like if you ate a big lunch and you're doing that, that's trouble.
Yeah. It's an ice cream cupcake.
Yeah. Are you familiar with these? They keep saying it's not a cupcake. Well, it is. It is a Dairy Queen cake in a
Queen
cup.
Cake.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite parts of the podcast when she's eating and she says, "You know, this person criticized me for eating." Like about three podcasts back.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. You know what? I had a similar situation. You're talking about people just say nasty things to you. And I had a guy say that. I mean, he said, "You're white trash, this, that, and the other." And then later I read on his page, because you get obsessed with it.
Every now and then Twitter, people will get me on Twitter.
It eats away at me. And I saw where he was continuing to talk about me after he had stopped engaging me. Mm-hmm. He had stopped following me and all these things. And he said, no wonder you got fired from Bob and Tom. No wonder no one likes you there. I mean, just a lot of nasty.
Does he own a detail shop in Mishawaka?
He might.
That's the same one I got.
He might. And it was just like, why would I even let this guy on my radar? Mm-hmm. Like, why does it mean anything?
The faceless internet, they can be so cruel. And people are jerks anyway. Like, you know, you'll just stand in there to show.
I've always said Twitter's like the worst bar you've ever walked
oh
into.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
I had to block a number of folks.
I mean, by and large, I got to be fair. 90%, they're great.
Yeah.
But every now and then you'll get, what the hell's, you know. And I do everything I can not to engage somebody. The worst thing I'll do, and now I don't even do this much anymore unless it's off the chart, unbelievably insulting. Like, and I mean like a racial epithet or something like that, they'll throw out. I'll block somebody for that. But
because he doesn't want it on his timeline.
I don't want it on his.
If you're a comedian or an entertainer, people can be dicks anyway, and I don't even think they mean it. You know, you'll stand there. You go, hey, you know, when was that headshot taken? Back in the 70s? You look nothing like your headshot. And you go, well, here, let me tell you why. We hired a photographer. We took a bunch of photos. I picked the best one.
For me to look best I can.
We had makeup. They photoshopped my hair. That's why it doesn't look like me, you jackass.
Right now, this is live, okay?
Pat has this uncanny ability through the years to have had run-ins with plenty of famous people. Jess can run into everyone from her high school this afternoon.
Always.
I never run into anyone. Chick, you're kind of that way, too.
Never, but very much.
But Pat has plenty of stories of running into Pete Townsend, Bill Murray. The list goes on and on.
I have such a crush on Bill Murray
I played guitar with Pete Townsend 3 times. Took him to my wife at the time. We were married 4 months. We went to her restaurant where she was working. We hung out that night. He got crazy drunk and was kissing his drummer. So, yeah.
Male or Pete female?
Male drummer.
Okay.
Yeah, behind closed doors. He sang Pinball Wizard in an operatic voice on top of the table, shit-faced. This is like 19... Ever since I was a young boy! And it was a very funny night. Yeah, huh. And Bill Murray, that was another drunken adventure on the set of Wild Things, a cast party for Wild Things. My girlfriend was a production assistant on that movie. They used her house for a lot of the scenes. Huh. The famous pool scene.
That's her house?
That's her house, yeah. My ex-girlfriend's house. Huh. And so Bill Murray was at the cast party. All the girls were dancing up on the tables, and he's just standing next to me. And I looked over, and he goes, yeah, I'm Bill Murray. You know, did one of those things. And then he proceeded to go over to the Jaeger fountain and drink and get trashed and was talking to himself for the rest of the evening.
Oh, Jaeger.
I love him.
Yeah. Jaeger.
And Jaeger.
Hang on. I love Jaeger.
I think the radio show and my excessively wealthy girlfriend allowed me to be in the weirdest situations for a poor Irish kid from northeastern Pennsylvania. They used to have these elaborate pool parties they lived in a $40 million house in Star Island next to, you know, Gloria Estefan. It was just dripping in wealth. The guy's a billionaire, her father. And I would wake up and go over to the pool area because they would have elaborate like brunches with grilled shrimp. And if I'd get back into town, I'd wander over to the pool because they were all there. We're supposed to be there. And, you know, De Niro and Stallone would be having a meeting with the dad because they were starting a film company together. Those were what my mornings were like.
Wow.
So it was just, it was an insane time. What's the Woody Allen movie where he's around all the Zelig? I feel like Zelig in a way.
Right.
Have you had any recent things, or obviously that's all gone?
All my stories are from 20
there's
years ago.
There's something about you in an elevator or something. Did you bump into somebody in an elevator? Is that right?
I spilled coffee on Keith Richards. Is that it?
Maybe are you serious?
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, he was doing a show at the Tower Theater in Philly, his only solo tour when he had the solo album out. And we were all, because we had the morning show, we're going to go back and meet him out. Hopefully, some of the guys are getting some stuff signed, and I couldn't be bothered. I had to get up at 4. I went to grab a cup of coffee, and he didn't want to be bothered, and he was hiding. So he came through. Unbeknownst to me, I get my coffee, and I turn around, and I spill a full hot coffee all over Keith Richards' pirate shirt.
Oh, God.
This is 1991. Uh-huh. And I go, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Richards. And he goes, you don't have to call me Mr. Richards. You can call me Keith. And he put his arm around me, and everybody else was watching Keith Richards with this huge coffee stain, put his arm around me. I said, geez, I'm sorry, you're going to change your shirt? He goes, no, it'll be good for the image. And he just sat there and he warmed up with his arm around me. He did like scales.
Wow.
Yeah, swear to God. It was a very, very, very unique situation. Huh. Stuff like that happens all the time.
He's a tiny little man.
He's a lot tinier than you think and thinner, so he appears to be tall whenever he's photographed, but he's shorter than I am and crazy thin.
Yeah.
I thought it was a miniature version of Keith Richards, and he looks a lot better without the harsh light on him. He doesn't look quite as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't have been nicer. He was probably the sweetest person I'd ever met of that stature.
He's something else. There's a reason he's been alive so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something there. Goodness gracious. What's one of your favorite gigs you've had in the last 10 years, 15, whatever?
I still really enjoy a small club situation that just is organic and something happens, somebody says something. My favorite moments are like the tinier moments. I really enjoy those. I haven't had that crazy fun big experience. I did 25,000 people at our station's birthday party in Philadelphia, and I hated it.
Yeah.
Like, I just hated it. They were going crazy. And it was like this wave of laughter that I didn't even hear. And I remember really not enjoying those. I enjoy the small club situation. Those are some of my favorites.
Have you ever done a house party?
I have done everything. I've done, somebody calls me up, you got $200 on a Monday night. I did a house party, stand there in the corner. I've done, we're here at the Belmont Abbey College. I want you to stand over there by the grill. The 15 girls are going to really enjoy it. And, you know, I stand there like a jackass, a big whore. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't you do that at a cafeteria and it's just going through the...
Jacksonville, 1991.
Okay.
It's called a cafeteria show, and you'll get $750, and that'll augment your day. You'll have a show at night, but you get your little coffee house money, so everybody takes it.
Right.
Who's going to turn that kind of money down?
Sure.
Yeah.
And you show up, and the guy goes, I love your stuff, man. It's going to be a surprise for the kids. They don't know you're going to be here.
Yeah.
They'll be studying, and they'll be eating, and so they'll be annoyed. No, they're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But let me tell you one other thing. You're in the cafeteria. Is there a stage? Oh, a little something. Yeah, we'll get something for you.
There's a space.
And you're going to be playing through the system, so don't let this throw you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear, they'll call out for orders. Like number nine, your turkey sub's ready. Wait, really? Yeah, but don't say anything about it. Just do your little thing. I went, all right. I figured that would just be along with the presentation, so you'd just hear that. But when someone ordered, it cut out the guitar and the voice. So I'd be going, hey, look at you with the number nine. Your turkey sub is ready, number nine. And you'd stand there like a jackass.
So do you? Is your ultimate goal to be back on the Bob and Tom Show? Would you like that? Or?
Oh, I would love that. But, you know, whenever I don't bring that up at all. I've talked about it with certain people.
Because I know you and Tom
see each other
every day. Or
We're thick as thieves, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, Tom is a guy, he's a results guy. And, you know, if something's rocking the boat, I think that he goes with the results. So, you know, as severe as it seems for someone to mess up and not be allowed back on at all, it's not on my timetable. As much as I would like it, I can't, you know, geez, I don't know what it was like for everybody else. My poor mother, I'm surprised she's still alive from what I put her through.
Yeah.
I really regret a lot of situations. She was just a champ through all that. And in my career, you know, it's really suffered. I mean, you guys, your show for me was the perfect mix of demographic and material. Mm-hmm. You know, I liked that. You know, you and I have talked about this before. We'd be at a Bob and Tom show, and we'd have a couple of clean comedians, three or four. And Chick knew that I was batting cleanup. He just whispered in my ear, why don't we Bob and Tom this motherfucker up, right? In other words, let's get some of what we do on the air. So, and I could work in a different variety of styles, so it was challenging. We were just about at the beginning of what we were going to do creatively. You know, Tom and I, and then Steve Ali with the production and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did one album that Tom produced, and I'm really proud of. Three or four of the things are some of my favorite production pieces of all time, thanks to Tom and, you know, Tom, who I'd fight with throughout the whole recording of the album. And
that sounds familiar. Yeah.
You're trying to be both dirty and mean.
Don't mention that again. Yeah, right. That's what he tells me. Yeah. Don't talk about that. And then I talk about it, and it's great, and he laughs, and that's fine. Yeah.
So what were some of your other favorite songs that you did on the show?
Oh, well, the first one that took off was Accidental, was the Let's Put Christ Back in Christmas. Mm-hmm. And, no one else played that, and that was one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. But when we promoted that, I would promote the things that, you know, everybody else would tell me to promote, but that was actually my favorite. Then you guys played that because somebody mailed it to you, and I was like, holy shit, that's great.
Yeah, Frosty the Snowman was Jesus Christ's best friend. That's the song we're talking about, yeah.
And the I guess my favorite production would have to be First Date, the song about the aging, the two people that go on the date.
That's right.
Because it was just such a beautiful mix of what I brought to them, what Tom changed. He changed the intro, and then Steve Ali made it a piece of art, really. It was just a wonderful piece. But I have been on the show in secret ways. I've been a voice on some bits. I wrote Christy Lee's computer dating bit. That was mine. That's me.
Okay.
No one knew that. That one went under the radar. Mm-hmm. And I'm the one who sings and wrote Nothing Funny Down That Road.
I heard that.
And I wrote Bob's astronaut song too.
So that's right.
Which Tom made it brilliant by adding him as the. I didn't have that in my song where he comes in at the end. So I hear myself in dribs and drabs, and it makes me cry. I cry when I hear it.
Well, let's do a song here before we get out of here.
What kind?
Well, whatever you want to do.
All right.
What did you, Jason? Do you have a favorite?
Well,
you
I like remember a couple. Like C'est La Vie was one that was really awkward. It kind of got pulled, didn't it?
Why would you want to do an awkward one?
No, you don't have a clue. Was awkward.
You don't have a clue. That's the one. That was the one.
Was awkward.
Well,
you know what? I know that you guys all experienced this, but from my end of it,
you were a listener. No,
I wasn't a listener.
Oh, okay.
I had just like within that year when everything happened, I had worked as a receptionist in this building for about 2 months. So Pat and I just kind of missed each other.
Right.
And absolutely. So I was like,
there was a lot of whispering in the halls.
There was a lot of whispering. There was a lot of things. I didn't, you know, I knew this guy because I had been a fan of the Bob and Tom Show forever. So that's how I, you know, I knew Pat. But to hear and be such a huge fan and then come in and get all this behind the scenes information was very interesting.
Oh, I mean, it's probably like Rashomon at this point. There's so many stories. And hopefully I've shed some light and I've been honest about it because I don't really want I don't really want to be.
Sure.
You know, it's very difficult. I mean, but when I come back here, in fact, the reason that why we left was that I just couldn't face the ghosts and the depression that would, that I just walk around and I still worked at the shack. So, you know, there'd be situations, you know, where I just feel so uncomfortable.
Right.
And I went, I can't put anybody else through this or my, or me.
Right.
Because, you know, then I had elbow surgery and I didn't work and I had to sell guitars and it was like one thing after the other that, you know, just seemed to like everything was crashing down around me. So I had to kind of make a move. And it's only gotten worse. It's been terrible.
You know what my dad always used to say? Don't worry about nothing. Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
What do you guys, you want to hear something?
Whatever
you
want like to
hear something brand new?
Yeah. Sure. Let's hear something.
You were mentioning Johnny Cash before?
Yeah, we love Johnny Cash.
I wrote a song. I was singing Johnny Cash on the way here.
I wrote a song for Johnny Cash.
Okay.
And I sent it to him. And I have never heard from him.
Johnny Cash has passed.
Oh, I thought it was Ego. Well, this is a... Can you hear that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. It's called Mom Worked the Farm. It's written in the style of Johnny Cash, so I might as well just cop to it like I've copped to a lot of things today.
Okay.
I'm not going to try to pretend that this is even original sounding. Because it's not. It's not. Mom worked the farm, she worked hard every day, with a baby in one arm and one on the way. She'd plant the crops and bale the hay. Mom worked the farm while Dad taught ballet. Dad taught ballet with panache and great charm. He would plié with a man on each arm. I'd play catch with Mom while he soaked his sore feet, cause after he'd pawed to do, he couldn't be a paw to me. Mom would wear those loose overalls. Daddy wore tights, pink scarves, and bright shawls. He lisped and he twirled and he came off real fey. Mom drank a beer and watched the LPGA. Mama was home when Dad passed away. His dying words were, "Dolores, I'm..." He never finished. He never finished what he had to say. Still in the closet are his clothes to this day. There were men at the funeral with rings in their ears, mustaches, plucked eyebrows, and well-rounded rears. The church organist played YMCA. One man cried loud, it's Dad's dance partner, Ray. Mama's fine since Dad's been gone, coaching softball and mowing the lawn. She joined an all-girl biker gang, goes on cruises with Rosie, and loves Katie Lang. When I get asked about my parents, well, all I can say is, well, Mom worked the farm, and Dad taught me cooking and fashion, and black goes with everything. Art and music and show tunes are fabulous, and it's okay to be gay, as long as you don't tell anybody.
Very good.
Doesn't work live. Doesn't work live.
No, really?
People don't pay attention. That paw to do, that paw to do line, you guys laugh because you read. You've read.
Sure.
You've been out there. I do that in the club. I did that Wednesday night because it's relatively new. Nothing.
Well, that was very funny, Pat.
Thank you very much.
What do we need to know about Pat Godwin as far as getting your recordings and things like that? Pat Godwin?
I have three things on iTunes. A serious one called Excess in Moderation from 1994, a reissue. And then Captured Live that Alan Johnson recorded at Crackers here a year or so ago. And then the Tom Griswold produced masterpiece Under the Bed.
And that's also on iTunes.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, great.
And then you know, at Pat Godwin there the Twitter, which is fun. I enjoy that. It keeps me engaged.
So you put your tour dates up through Twitter?
No, that's on the website, patgodwin.com.
Patgodwin.com.
Mm-hmm. And if you like really big pictures of Pat, go to patgodwin.com.
Why?
Because they're always huge. It's like you always have to, if you want to see your tour dates, you have to scroll down a whole page because the picture's so large.
I'm going to show up at your house with this criticism,
I
mister.
I don't know what you're trying to do. What's your problem over there?
Jason's always actually very astute. Anything he says to me, I always go, maybe I better check that out.
There. I know. I think that's he is that voice for lots of people.
Jason cares about stuff.
He does.
Jason does care.
I love people like that. I miss you guys.
I care and then I walk away.
So if my
Did you get a message there?
If my goal is to be back
from Channel 13, send me a message.
If my goal is to be back in the Bob and Tom show, I could just sit here till Monday and just say,
I don't know why.
Hello!
That sounds like a great idea. I'll show up about 7 that morning. Thank you, Pat Godwin. Thank you, Jess.
Thanks.
Mr. Jason, as always, it's been a pleasure.
And there could be news soon.
Could be big news soon about the podcast being live on the stage near you. This is happening. We know the date. We're just going to release details very soon. So
it might have happened by the time you So check. Chickmcgee.com.
Hope you'll come see us live. Thanks, everybody. Good night, everybody!